Well, good morning, everybody. Hope everybody's had a good week, and we're gonna still be here in the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter number 2. And I think I mentioned last week my plans were to try to deal with verse 9, 10, and 11 together, and I still sort of plan to. I just don't think I'll get through as much as I was hoping. But we'll read these verses down here. We'll go back to verse number 7 where we started last week and just lead in down through here to verse number 11. It says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." And so as we come here to verse 9 down through 11, what we're dealing with are expressions of love and hatred for the brethren. That's what John is primarily focusing on as he writes this. And I want you to notice there, verse number 9, once again, it says, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." And so we'll start by just looking here at this first phrase. It says, "He that saith he is in the light." And so what we find here is a held position. And this is very similar. We see another claim out of someone saying that they are something or they believe something. They say they're in the light. If you look back at verse number 4, this claim was, "He that saith, I know him." If you look at verse 6, it was, "He that saith, he abideth in him." So you understand the continual theme here is people claiming something that may or may not be true. And if you go back to chapter 1, it's really not a lot different. We just have a different claim. It's "if we say," right? So here we find the claims are "he that saith" in chapter 2. But if you go back to chapter 1, we find three times the writer says, "if we say." So it's constant so far, these themes of these claims that are to be made. And you know how it is. I mean, if somebody claims something, it can either be true or it can be false. Right? I mean, that's just the way it is. But what we find here in verse number 9 is this held position of this person says that, verse 9, it says, "He that saith he is in the light." So we have another claim, but this time it's that whoever this is makes a claim that they are in the light. And I think we've dealt enough with light to understand what that means. That means they're dwelling in Christ and in the ways of Him, and they're following His leadership, and they're living a life that is exposed to Christ. In other words, Christ has the opportunity to shine on everything in their life and fix and correct things. And they just continually stepping into that light wherever God leads them. And that's the claim that's being made from the context. And many claim this same thing today. But here's the thing about all these claims. I think this is the sixth one made so far in the book of 1 John. All these claims are meaningless without a life that backs them up. And where we stand today as church people, I don't want to use the term Christian because that's a very serious term, but I say church people because there's a lot of church people that aren't really Christians. So generally, we've got a lot of people that claim a lot of things, but what we have is a lot of lives that don't back it up. And to a degree, we are all responsible for that. Every one of us have made claims and, you know, at times, our lives have not depicted what we claim. And so we've got to be very careful. But some of the claims that we hear today are, you know, the things that probably all y'all hear, hopefully, as you talk to people about the Lord. You know, the one that I hear more than anything, oh, I'm saved, right? We hear that all the time. You ask if somebody's ever been born again, oh, yeah, I got saved, such and such. I go to church, or I used to go to church at such and such. We hear that one a lot. One that we've started hearing a lot since COVID is, I listen online. I listen online. I don't really like going down where there's all those people. So I just get on the computer, and I log in, and I sit in my recliner where I'm comfortable, where there's no expectation for me to move or do anything. I just like to stay at the house and be online. I can get just as much out of it from the house as I can there. And plus, I don't have to be in church with them people I don't like. That's really what it's, I mean, that's what a lot of it means. And so, now I try not to be that way. I try not to tell those people that. But you all know that that's the truth. That's what they're saying. Sometimes you might hear, well, I read my Bible. I hear that from occasion. I'd like to know how real that is most of the time, though. Sometimes they'll say, I pray. I don't know if I'm right with the Lord, but I at least pray. We hear that one. Sometimes it's, I watch church on TV. And they think that's okay. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with watching church on TV. You find a good church to watch on TV, watch it. But don't miss your local church to watch it. And, man, there might be a claim that I teach Sunday school. I've had people make that claim. And probably very much so do. Stand up and teach something. And, man, I've heard them say that this is a sad one. A lot of them claim I used to. I've heard a lot of people claim I used to preach. I used to teach. I used to go. That's a sad claim, isn't it? And, you know, I assume when somebody says I used to, you know, a lot of those are true. For whatever reason, they quit. There's a lot of claims to be made. The thing is, and I don't even know why I had those in there, but that's something that came to my mind. But the thing about our claims of being right with the Lord, no matter how you say it, it's meaningless without the life that backs it up. And that's the difficult thing today, is making sure that every one of our lives depict what we say. I used to work for a company up in East Tennessee, and their motto was, we do what we say. I wish every person did what they said. And what matters is what's real about you. It doesn't really matter. I mean, I could get up here and claim to be an astronaut. And you know what? Brother Jerry, it wouldn't mean anything. Every one of you in here knows I'm not an astronaut. And y'all just laugh and go on. But the problem is, some of these claims that people make are stuff that you can't see. And you don't know, and I don't know, but they know. And what more importantly is, the Lord knows. So the problem with a lot of this is, a lot of people make these claims. You know, I abide in the light. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. And they're going to let that claim keep them from ever getting right with the Lord. Because they've made the claim, and they're so prideful in their statement that they're not willing to let it go and to humble themselves before God and say, I know I made the claim, but it wasn't real, and I need to get it right. And I hope we don't have anybody here like that today, but there's a lot of people that's going to hold on to a profession and never try to make sure that things are right with them in the Lord. They're too worried about what everybody else thinks. But we'd, every one of us, do better caring more about what God knows than what everybody else thinks. You'd be better to never claim anything, Nathaniel, than to make a claim and then live a whole life that depicts something totally different. Oh, that is a miserable life. That's bondage, is what that is. That's bondage. So maybe somebody's here in that kind of bondage today. And that's a miserable way to live. To say your whole life that you're a believer or a Christian, but never truly felt the peace that comes from a real relationship with the Lord. But you're constantly living a life that is bound to trying to hide. That's a dangerous place to be. But there's a lot of people that do that. And they do it day in and day out. And you know what happens? The miserableness of their life shows up on them. They're miserable. Because they've got no hope in the state that they're in. But we better worry about what God knows. So once again, we have a claim. He that saith he is in the light, and we understand by the rest of the verse, this person obviously is not in the light. Because the next part, so we have their held position, but next you find a hating person. It says, and hateth his brother. So they say, I live in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Brother Doug, they at the same time hate their brother. Does that make sense? It don't work that way. It says, this is a professing believer with hatred toward another professing believer. It don't make sense. And this is not an understanding. I want everybody to understand that this is not a disagreement. We all have disagreements at times. We all may get frustrated. Brother Wayne, I might get frustrated at you someday. I never have, but I may someday. May get frustrated. That's not hatred. What it's talking about here is hatred. That means when you detest someone, when there's something down deep on the inside, Creston, that I don't, not just I don't like that person, but I hate them. Y'all know what that's talking about. It's plain English. And it ought not never be that way between brethren. Not ever. And we ought not to hate one another. The Bible's very clear that we ought to love each other. In John 13:34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And he goes on and says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. That's what he said, if ye have love one to another. John 15, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. John 15:17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. You getting the picture? It's very clear. If we were to look over at the book of Mark and other Gospels as well, you know, we find what Jesus said were the two greatest commandments. We mentioned it last week, that we love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second, like to it, right? It says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he said. And so as I thought on this and how we ought to love each other, man, I started finding all these verses about how we treat one another. The Bible says we're to love one another. It says be kindly affectioned toward one another. We are to forbear one another. You know what that means? That means if you wrong me, you know what I should do? I should just love you through it. Amen. I should care enough about the relationship between me and you and between me and the Lord, Brother Delmer, that I want to fix that and I want to give you a space of grace. That's what that means. It means to forbear. It means to withhold punishment. To withhold that anger, that hatred, that lashing out. We're to forbear. I'm thankful that God forbears us at times. He don't give us what we deserve, does He? We're to forbear one another. It says, an honor preferring one another. You know what I should do? If I have a choice to hang with a believer or a non-believer, you know who I ought to pick? I ought to pick a believer. I want to be with you. Hey, if I have a choice of whether I get something or you get it, you know who I ought to give it to? I ought to give it to you. I ought to prefer you over me. That's what it's talking about. I ought to give the preference to my brethren. I ought to say, you know what? I love you more than I love myself. That's the way it's supposed to be. And I'm going to come back to one of these verses here in just a minute. It says we're to consider one another. How considerate are we? We're to be considerate of one another. It says we're to forgive one another. We're also supposed to provoke one another. Now, not provoke to wrath, but we're to provoke one another to good things of God. We're supposed to encourage each other. He tells us we're to have compassion of one another. Does that sound like somebody that hates? If you're following the Lord and honoring every one of these things, guess what you can't do? You can't hate. Every one of them, Jordan, is completely opposite of hate. I find no hatred in any of that. Can't hate. Can't hate the brethren. But I told Kevin this and this week, John 13:34 there, where it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." I think we understand that part. And I've said this over and over. We get real confused about that word love in our society today. We get in our mind that love is a feeling of affection toward somebody. But look at the context of this verse and tell me that word has anything to do with feelings. He goes on and says that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He goes, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Can anyone in this world, can all men that it's talking about, Doug, can all men in this world see your feelings toward somebody? They have no idea what's in your heart. They cannot look down on the inside of mankind and see what's down in there. You or I, neither one have the power to. If we claim to, we're wrong. A lot of church problems come from stemming from assuming we know what's in somebody else's heart. We don't know a bit more than anything what's in somebody else's heart, except by what we see them do. That's the only thing we know. And so you notice he says, by this shall all men know you are my disciples. That means that whoever this is that it's talking about lives a life such that their love is demonstrated. It's not hidden by a feeling. It's not just a claim that's made. It's, Tanner, they see your life and they see your love for the brethren. And then they say, I see how he loves all them brothers and sisters that he has. He's got to be Christ. That's what it's saying. It's not that Tanner has this deep, abiding affection for everybody. It's that he cares enough about God and cares enough about the things of God and the people of God that he goes out of his way and does stuff for them. And to the extent that people see his life and recognize what he is, he didn't have to tell them. You notice that? He says, by this shall all men know, if you have loved the brethren. So where's our love for the brethren today? Do we love each other? Or do you hate each other? I hope not. I hope there's nobody in here that has hatred in their heart. But that's a question that we all must ask. And if we love one another, does everybody around us see it coming out to the extent they look at your life and say, they're obviously a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the way that they live, the way they love. You understand? That's tough. It's hard living, right? It's hard living. We get aggravated at each other and we get so busy. That's my big thing, is I get so busy. Man, I get overwhelmed with work, with family. I get tied up, Nathaniel. I mean, I do. I get tied up with the kids, with baseball, with projects, you know, outside of work, with church. Sometimes we get busy here, and that's a good thing. I'm not complaining about that. But sometimes I forget to consider one another. I forget to provoke you. I forget to reach out to you through the week. And, I mean, obviously nobody in here can be the one source for everybody in this room. You don't have enough to pour out for everybody. But it'd sure be good if every child of God in here would pick a group, a handful, and just make sure each week, just a handful, wouldn't it? And just say, this week I'm going to focus on loving this one. And I'm going to focus on loving that one. I'm not saying I do this, because I don't. I'm saying it'd be good for us all too, wouldn't it? Adam, you know what would happen if we started doing some of that stuff? The world around us would look and be like, they love each other. And you know what about them? There's something different about them. They must know something about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way He looked. That's the way I imagine He was. Just saying, you can't love and hate at the same time. It don't work. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You cannot hate someone and be considering what Christ did for you if you're a Christian, right? I mean, that's what this is about. I can't think of how Christ loved me and have bitterness in my heart toward a brother. It just don't work. Because all of a sudden it clicks with me. And I think, man, that's the way I treated the Lord. And guess how He treated me? He loved me while I was yet a sinner. We just got to be careful, don't we? So we find a held position. We find the hating person. But then lastly, here in this verse, in verse number 9, it says, I guess I need to get in the right chapter. In verse 9, it says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother. What we find lastly here is a hoaxed profession. It says, is in darkness even until now. They're fake. That's what John's saying. It says, if you say you abide in the light, but yet you have hatred in your heart for the brethren, you're a phony. The two don't go together. That's what he's telling us. It says, is in darkness even until now. In other words, that darkness that was there has just continued in their life. Even until now. There was not a time that they were brought out of that darkness. If this is you, please check up. Can't have hatred in your heart for the brethren. I understand there'll be times of frustrations. There'll be times that you might not like me. There may be times I don't like you. You may say something that offends me. You may do something that, I mean, all those things, right? I mean, we're in a church of 200 people at times. Somebody's liable to say something before you walk out these doors that is offensive. But can you leave here and hate that person and still love the Lord? It don't add up. And that's what John's teaching. So you just can't love. I mean, they're opposites of each other. You can't do both. You can't love and hate at the same time. And just don't add up. So what John's saying is, hey, if you're in this state, if you find yourself in this position, you need to get out of the dark. You need to get out of the dark because that's where you're living. And, you know, maybe you're a believer here today. I don't know. Had no idea. You know, I mean, I hoped everybody's going to be here. I don't know who's going to be here this morning. But maybe there's a believer here with some bitterness in their heart. And, maybe the devil's blinded them a little bit to what's going on. And we need to all make sure, if we want to worship right with one another, we got to make sure things are right. And that's very important. Hebrews 12:14-15 says this. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You got to be holy. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now that's not talking about falling from salvation. But what that's talking about is, folks, If we're saved by grace, we got to live in grace. We're taught to grow in grace. And you know what I ought to demonstrate to you when you hurt me? I ought to demonstrate some grace. I ought to give you grace just as God gave me grace. And we love one another. It says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. But here's the last part of that verse. It says, and thereby many be defiled. You know what bitterness will do? If you let that thing root and spring up, it'll defile many. It affects everybody. Don't let that happen. Folks, we've got to make sure that we don't allow that stuff to fester and grow in this place. So, whatever you need to let go of, everybody, I mean, that's every one of us. If there's something in our hearts, we need to make sure and get that right. So, all right, I want to go back now. That's enough. That's enough of that hard stuff for a little while. I want to go back to something happy for a little bit. It's just hard living, and that's just the truth. Folks, it's just where we're at in Scriptures. We take the hard with the easy, right? That's just part of it. I just want it all, don't you? I want to know what's right, what's wrong. And if I'm the one in the wrong, I want to fix it. It's just part of it. But I got to looking at this phrase, that first phrase in verse number 9. I want to go back to that. It says, he that saith he is in the light. And I tell you, Jonah, what I looked up, I just, you know, like all of us good Baptists do, I went to Google and I said, effects of sunlight on the human. I wanted to know, what does being in the sunlight do? And it brought me up a list. And I started looking at it, and it made me so happy. The first thing that it said on it was, if you're in the sunlight, it boosts your vitamin D production. And I don't know nothing about what that it means, so I have to find the easy terms for that. But what it says, it promotes strong bones, healthy muscles, and a robust immune system. I got thinking about the sunlight, S-O-N light. If I get in His light, what does that do for me? Well, it promotes strength, and it promotes my health, and it promotes resistance to some things. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 3. Y'all know this passage hopefully real well. If you don't, get to know it. But Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, we'll read down through verse number 10. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. I read those just because they're so good. But look at verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Ain't that a blessing? Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And look right here, the resistance that we find. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know what? You'll build some resistance to the famine. You find some strength. You find some stability. And you find some resistance to some things when you get in the sunlight. Some things that you normally couldn't handle, guess what you can do when you're living in the sunlight? You can handle them. But also, number 2, it boosts your mood and health. It says, when I looked this up, it said exposure to the sun boosts serotonin, which is associated with feelings of well-being and happiness. So you know what happens? You get in the sunlight. I don't know about you, but when I get around the Lord, I feel a whole lot better, don't you? Psalm 16:11, it says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. I've never been here in a service where God's present and not felt the joy of the Lord. Man, He helps, don't He? At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Number 3, you get in the sun, it says it leads to a release of nitric oxide, which dilates blood vessels, lowering blood pressure. I got to thinking about that. When we get around the Lord, you know what it does? it leads us to releasing some things. The real, you know, the sun that we see in the sky, you release nitric oxide. I don't even know what that is. But when I get around the Lord, this bitterness, this hatred, the malice, all those things, you know what I do? Can't hold on to it no more. Just got to release it and let it go. Lowers my spiritual blood pressure. Puts me in a better mood. And calms me down. The Lord calms us down. Same time He excites us, He calms the inside, don't He? He gives us peace. You know how it is when your blood pressure gets up there, you get mad, you get frustrated, you get troubled, you get anxiety. Man, I don't get that around the Lord, do you? I get peace. You know, we get here in a good service and the Lord's here. You know what all we want to do? We sit back in our seat and say, Lord, I just want to stay here a while. That's what Peter said. He said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. There's something about this place in Your presence that does something for me that I've never got out there before. Man, it lowers that there's some pressures in our lives that man, yeah, when I step out them doors, they're there. They're real. But I come in here and the Lord sits down on this place and all of that just goes away out of the mind for a little while. So it lowers that blood pressure. Number four, it improves our rest. It says it helps the sun helps regulate the body's circadian rhythm. Once again, I really don't even know what that is, but it improves your sleep quality. Have you ever rested so good as when you're living in the presence of the Lord? Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also shall be ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Folks, there's rest in the sunlight. Rest in the sunlight. Number five, stress relief. Exposure to the sun has a calming effect. Calming effect. We kind of touched on that already. But then I got to thinking about the peace that God gives us. The Bible tells us that we have peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible calls Him the God of peace. If you want peace, if you want to calm down, you know how you'll do that? You get in the sunlight for a little bit. Get in the sunlight. But then that was all the positive effects, Brother Cliff, that it showed in the list. And then it said negative by the rest of them. And I thought, I don't know. Let's see what this has to say. I don't know how I can compare these, because I don't know that being around the Lord ever has a negative impact. And it don't. But the next one it said was skin damage. We're all familiar with that, right? Sunburn, premature aging. Of course, that can lead to skin cancer, those type of things. But in the light of the Lord, sunburn. I got to thinking about over there in Luke 24:30. Them disciples, they was walking down that road. They was on the Emmaus Road, Brother Creston. Yeah. And the Lord was with them, and then He disappeared, right? And they said one to another, did not our heart burn? Did they not burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? There is a burning sensation when you've been around the Lord and He's speaking. I think it was Jeremiah that said it was like a fire set up in his bones. Man, there's a burning effect when you get around the sunlight that you just can't contain. And I want you to notice this too, how that verse, this stuck out to me as I read it. It said, and they said one to another, doth not our heart burn? Would you not think if there was multiple people that they would have said, did not our hearts burn? Something to be learned about those early disciples. They had one heart. And that heart was for the Lord Jesus Christ. One heart. Didn't say hearts. Heart. That's just a little side note. We'll move on with that. So sunburn. But that premature aging, I thought, man, that's right. I said, you take a newborn Christian that gets in this thing and they really dive into that word. Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You get a newborn babe in Christ that gets really hungry and thirsty for the things of God, you know what they'll do? They're liable to surpass a lot of us that's been in this thing 20 and 30 years. Because they dive in there early, they get in there, you'll see some premature aging. I like to see some premature aging spiritually, don't you? I like to see some young people get in this thing and go wide open for the Lord. And all of a sudden, within a year or two, you see them spring up and they look more mature than a lot of the people in the church. That can happen, and I've seen it happen over and over. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:6, he says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Guess what? They shall be filled. That's what he said. If you're a newborn Christian, don't discount your ability to grow. You can grow, and you can grow rapidly. You get in the sunlight, you can grow. Number eight, and I know, I don't know, what time are we at? Does anybody know? Oh, perfect. I can make it through these. Number eight, it says eye damage. It said prolonged exposure can damage the eyes. And I couldn't help but think about Exodus 33:20 when old Moses wanted to see God's glory. And God said this, Exodus 33:20, he said, thou canst not see my face. You can't look on me. He said, for there shall no man see me and live. You getting too much sunlight, you can't handle it. That's what he's saying. You can't handle what I have for you. Amen. Not in the body that you're in. So I might not be able to handle it, but I don't know about you, but I'd like to get as close and get as much of it as I can. I'd like to see every one of us have to come in here and put a veil on our faces, wouldn't you? I don't see anybody in here wearing one today. And I ain't wearing one. But Moses said, I beseech you, thee, show me thy glory. I want to see you, Lord. I want to hear from you. I want to get close to you. He got a sight that day, didn't he? Number nine, too much sunlight, overexposure can suppress the immune system, making individuals more susceptible to infections and disease. You know what happens if you take a Christian that dives in real deep into the sunlight? Just like Job, he was a perfect man. He feared God. He eschewed evil. There was no man greater, the Bible says, at that time. You know what happened to him? He was more susceptible to the attacks of Satan because of it. Yep. He put himself by being interested in the things of God. Folks, give me just a couple more minutes if you can before you get sidetracked. By putting himself in a place where he was so interested in the things of God, it made him the perfect target for Satan to attack. And so don't be surprised. In fact, Peter said in 1 Peter, I'm going to read this to you. Go back the other way. Just a couple pages over. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 12. It says, beloved, think it not strange, concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. In other words, it's not going to be strange. If you get in with the Lord, it's not going to be a strange thing. It says, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But thankful for Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Folks, you getting enough sunlight, you're going to be susceptible to the attack of the devil. That's just, if you go out here and live a life that's worldly, he don't have to attack you. He's already got you. But if you try to stand firm on the things of God and you try to walk with him, guess what? You're going to be attacked by the devil. That's what's going to happen. So just be ready. You're not going to be immune to it is what I'm getting at. It's not just going to pass you by. You're going to suffer for the cause of Christ if you live in the sunlight. And number 10, heat exhaustion and heat stroke. Prolonged exposure can lead to heat exhaustion and heat stroke. Folks, I already said, you get in the presence of God for a long enough time, it will drain you. Our bodies cannot handle it. I've stood up here before and I've been out there before, and the Holy Ghost sat on this place so much where when I left, I was wore out. Have you ever been in that place where it's all you can handle? Folks, he's more than we can handle. And I'm thankful for it. But there's one day we're going to handle all of it for eternity. And I appreciate that. Number 11, I just got two more and we'll be done. Skin changes. Prolonged exposure changes your skin. It says it can cause freckles, moles, and other skin changes. You know what happens when you get prolonged exposure to the SON light? It leaves a lasting mark. Leaves a lasting mark on your life. I'm thankful for the lasting mark that he leaves. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that we're new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Acts 4:13, it said, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know what happened? They'd been around the sunlight for a little while, and it showed up on them. Amen. Folks, it shows up on you in this place when you've been around the sun, and I guarantee out there, guess what it'll do? It'll show up on you every time. Luke 7:22, then Jesus answering said unto them, this is when the disciples of John came and asked Jesus, said, he wants to know, are you really him or are you not? And Jesus looked at him and he said, the Bible says in Luke 7:22, then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel's preached. You ask all them people that Jesus touched that when they got in the sunlight, did it have a changing impact on their life? And what do you reckon every one of them would say? You better believe it. They might not understood everything, but I know that blind man said, I don't know a lot, but I know I was blind and now I see. So I don't know. It was a lasting impact for him. Oh, Lazarus, you ask him, is he when Jesus come around and you was dead, did it do anything for you? What about Jairus' daughter? Man, you start asking all them people, when he come around, did it leave a lasting impact? Every time. Every time he comes in this place, you know what he does? He leaves a lasting impact. Number 12, and I'm done. I'm sorry to hold you so long, but this is just so good, I can't help it. But last one, it said, excessive exposure can weaken vessel walls, making them dilate, causing broken capillaries. And I had to figure, Kristen, I was like, okay, what's that mean? I got to looking. What that means is that those veins that were once hidden, you know what the veins hold, don't you? They hold the blood. Something that was once hidden, now it dilates to a point where it can be seen through the skin. And then those capillaries start breaking, and Google said that blood starts to pool under the skin and become visible. You know what happens when you get exposed to the sunlight? His blood starts becoming visible to you and to others. Don't you reckon it'd be good for us all to get a little more sunlight? Some of us are pretty white-skinned in here today, but I don't really care about that. But I want his light, don't you? We need to get in his light. I know one thing, just what we read today. It'll help us love our brothers. We sure won't be able to hate them, will we? Folks, I appreciate your good attention, and I hope that was at least some kind of encouraging to you today. I appreciate y'all. We'll have prayer for anybody that wants to pray down through the hallways there.